Blog Talk Radio.
By Talk Radio. I was just informed that I have a lot of background noise, so hopefully I'm good today. I was in the middle of finding another app for my site, and I'm like, oh, I found a great app. And so I was doing that in the middle of it as we were going on the air. So I want to welcome you guys to another By Talk Radio weekly show. We have a cool guest on coming on in a couple of minutes, and his name is Paul Fitzgerald. Now, I'm actually excited about Paul because I consider him a really cool guy. He introduced himself to me a few months ago. He lives in Brooklyn, New York, and he was a great kind of a builder, a very positive person, energy about the bi community and about, what's needed for the bi community, those kind of things, and just things that he's inspired about our Invisible campaign that he joined us in. And so we have a lot of things to talk about with him. I want everybody to get an introduction to Paul because he is not only a writer, he's a director and an actor, but he has some really great stuff that he's done. If you check out IMDb, which is kind of like the entertainment standard for finding out about your favorite actors in movies and television, Paul did a really great movie called Forgiven about race relations and people who are struggling with types of pain and type of things. And also he had a new movie he did too that I think went in a few cities, which was Helena from the Wedding. And it hasn't come to Chicago, but I'm really hoping that it does. And that will be interesting to see what's happening with that. So I'm hopefully that he can get on the circuit and come across the cities around you. I wanted to apologize. There was a couple of glitches a few days ago on By Social Network. We had we were updating our servers, and a little glitch happened. So if you were in the throes, we have people all over the world now, and if you were in the throes of that, you might have saw some really funky things on the site. That's been resolved. We're upgraded. And everything is great. So, but I'm really looking forward to bringing in Paul. And right before we do that, I want to, this is a word from our sponsors. We have a show with By Bar coming up too. But let me bring him up for a moment and then I'll let him know. Hi, this is Adrian from By Talk Radio. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Paul Fitzgerald.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing? Before we get started, I have to do our announcement with By Bar, so I forgot to do that. So let me go ahead and do an intro to that, and I'll be with you in one moment.
Bring yourself and all the bisexual and bi-friendly friends you can throw in a car and head down to the hottest bisexual party of the new year. The second Thursday of every month, starting February 10th, By Bar will transform 1015 Folsom in San Francisco to the bi party you've always wanted to be a part of. Purchase the most tickets online and you get a shot at rock star treatment with 4 free VIP tickets and bottle service. Oh yeah, By Bar. Come for the fun, stay for the adventure. Go to buybar.com to purchase your tickets today for early bird specials.
So Paul, Paul Fitzgerald, you coming to
Adrian.
Welcome to our show, our little humble show.
Thank you so much. I'm very honored to be a part of your not so humble or not so little show. It's I've enjoyed the past installments I've had a chance to listen to, so I'm pleased to be a part.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really, really excited that we have us. I had a little bit of glitch a little bit, but before in 2010, we needed some equipment, so we got a much, much better equipment. I'm really happy about it. And so it just makes it easier for me and our listeners and also our people who are interviewing with us. So we're a little bit excited. So tell me, what's happening in New York right now?
Well, you know, in New York, we are just trying to, I don't know what's happening out in Chicago, but it is cold in New York. We're getting pounded with snow, and we're snowed in, but it's been kind of nice. I'm fortunate just because I've been back and forth working in New Orleans the past couple months, so I've been able to get out of town a little bit and catch a break with the weather. Unfortunately, I don't have to leave town here anytime the next week or so because I don't think I'll be able to get out. We're pretty snowed in. But, you know, things are good in New York. I can't complain.
That's like a high-end problem, you know, with, you know, New Orleans is a pretty, you know, interesting city. So I'm sure you're having some fun there. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, New Orleans is a great city, super interesting, a really interesting sort of, you know, honestly, I'm remiss. I don't know enough about the history of the sort of LGBT presence in New Orleans, but it's certainly, you know, like all the other aspects of the city, is such a sort of place unto itself and so kind of far out. And you know, the same way that I think it developed its own sort of racial dynamic, totally different from the rest of the South and the rest of the country, at a you know, much earlier phase, you know, in our country's history. I think the same, as far as I know, just sort of the little I know historically, there's been a LGBT presence there, or certainly a presence of sexuality nonconformists for a long time, and you see that. I only say that just because LGBT being such a sort of current acronym, modern construction, but you know, certainly people who lived outside the normal parameters of sexuality and so forth, it seems to have had a stronghold down there for a long time. So it's very cool, you know, to kind of go around the quarter and the different areas, warehouse district and different places, and, you know, see not only LGBT flags, but just see if there's a, you know, such a presence in, you know, what is otherwise a fairly conservative southern state. And, you know, myself being from the South, it's fascinating to see such a thriving LGBT presence in a place in the South like that. So, yeah, that's the diplomatic way of saying one can have a good time in New Orleans.
Well, this is what I say. I've been to New Orleans 3 times, and I always say this: what happens in New Orleans stays in New Orleans.
It really is. I mean, I know Vegas has piggybacked on that saying, but that definitely was coined, minted, and is still mass produced in New Orleans because, you know, you go down there and you let yourself have a hurricane or two, and the next thing you know.
Who knows what's going on?
You're letting the sails out, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Now, I never went to Mardi Gras, New Orleans, but I did go to the Jazz Festival a couple times. I saw Lenny Kravitz and some really cool people there. Lyle Lovett. I mean, but you, just to go back to what you just said, you said that you were originally from the South. I didn't know that. Where part?
I am indeed. I'm from Southwest Virginia, a town called Lynchburg, sort of nestled there right beside the Blue Ridge Mountains, below Charlottesville and beside Roanoke, to the, east of the Shenandoah Valley. So, I know everyone has a different opinion about Virginia's southern credentials, but once you get outside the metropolitan D.C. area, you will realize that you are definitely in the South, and that's for better and worse. It's but I'm, you know, mostly better in my mind because I'm a real fan of Virginia and also the town where I'm from. So,
my father's from Waco, Texas, and everybody's like, oh, but I've never been to the South. I went to Memphis once on a holiday because I was a big fan of the blues. Started in 96, and so I went there then. But I've never really been to the South. I'm more of when I travel, I go to Europe.
I hear you. Yeah, but the South is a thing unto itself. And if you from there, grew up around there, you know, it's kind of always in you, and you always feel, you know, to some degree at home there. Memphis is a great place. I have some friends that when I was down in New Orleans. I have friends who are from up in the Delta, in Rosedale, Mississippi, up in that area. So I took a trip up through Jackson on Route 55 and up into the Delta, you know, Greenwood and Clarksdale and Rosedale. And that's a whole, you know, I mean, the South, you know, just like the LGBT moniker, like there is no monolith. Like you can't really, you know, you can describe the South as the South, but it's really as different as all the different regions in the South. I mean, Mississippi and that area that I was in, you know, or New Orleans for that matter. I mean, those places are worlds apart from Virginia or, you know, North Carolina or Alabama or whatever. I mean, they're just each region of the South has its own distinct little eccentricities and peculiarities. a lot of fried food, that's for sure.
Like I said, I think everything's migrated. People from the South tend to, I know people moved to Chicago, and it's just this really weird thing for people how they migrate from Chicago, California, and New York, and then people kind of migrate to different places. They in Chicago for a little bit, then they go to California, they go to California, they go to New York kind of thing. So I guess with the migration with the South, too, it's just all over, and I'm sure it's a gorgeous place, and I do want to visit. I've heard a lot of things about Virginia, but
it's gorgeous. I mean, it's gorgeous and it's wonderful, but I mean, you know, the reality is of the fact that, you know, that it's more conservative, more socially conservative, and, you know, I think that migratory pattern has, you know, in some way been the same as it ever has been from the Great Migration, from ex-slaves coming up from the South up to Chicago and,
yeah,
you know, points north. Is it people just trying to go to the big city where you could kind of, not be as confined by some of the more conservative, traditional mores that were sort of bringing up the rear, you know, in terms of evolving stuff. So that's still the case. But it's I'm particularly being interested and active in the LGBT community. I'm always fascinated to go back to the South and see, you know, I'm so much more fascinated in a way to see what's happening there. It's just more intriguing to me than seeing what's happening in big cities because, it's, you know, in big cities, it's no big deal. But, like, you know, people who are pressing the boundaries and pushing the envelopes, you know, and existing in smaller southern rural confines, that's interesting stuff, you know.
Well, I know you have a little history, I mean, a little kind of famous history of how you're, it's kind of like a 6 degrees of separation. I was looking at your profile on IMDb.
Yeah.
And I know you are the nephew of Stephanie Miller, right?
Yes, Stephanie Miller. Do you know Stephanie? Did you ever listen to her radio?
Yes, well, this is weird because I know Hal Sparks and Crew is sold. He calls me by a different name. And
how do you know Hal Sparks?
Paul.
Okay, yeah, right,
crazy.
We don't have to get into the details.
Oh, my God. I can't say too much because this is an adult show, but I will say me and Hal go back a long way. I was a person who had a different name on the Internet for a long time, and when me and Hal met, before MySpace blew up, we were into politics, and then so I joined his group before anybody knew him. And then Queer as Folk happened, and I was a big fan of Queer as Folk. And of course, I'm a geek. I go to like Highlander conventions or Queer as Folk conventions because I travel all the over. If I go to London, that's what I do.
Right.
And so I'm a 6 foot tall black woman, right? And bisexual. So all the stars, everywhere I go, I tend to the stars gravitate towards me. And so they want to know who I am. And so because I knew everybody from Queer as Folk, and especially Hal, I really liked him. He's like my little brother. everybody thought of him sexually, but I was never attracted to him. He's like, why not? I think I should like my little brother. And we met, and when I saw him before, I said, that Stephanie Miller sounds familiar. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I go on there, I said, House Park. So technically, we're like 6 degrees or 3 degrees.
I totally get it. Yeah, no, I like Hal a lot. He's a great guy. And yeah, he and Steph have been pal around together politically and on the radio for a long time. And so Steph is my mom's youngest sister. And Steffi is close in age to. It's very she's one of those, well as family situations. She's in closer in age to me than she is to my mother. My grandparents had two kids and then waited for like 20 years and had two more kids, my aunt Steffi and my uncle Bill. So Steph and I are like, brother and sister, totally pals, and I stay with her when I'm out in L.A. And she's good people. And she just came out. She just came out recently, and so.
I know,
there you go.
She came out as lesbian. Yeah.
Totally.
I watched her, Keith Olbermann, because I'm a big fan of Keith Olbermann. I'm really sad.
Rest in peace.
And so she was always on the show, and so that's how I know her humor.
Yes, she's the class clown of the family.
Well, let's talk about you though. I'm interested in, and you just did a movie, and because I'm going to get to your activism with the I Am Visible campaign in a moment. But I wanted to talk to you about this movie that you just did. I know you're in two movies right now, In the Pickle and Jackie Goldberg. And also you just did a movie with Helena from The Wedding.
Yes.
Right?
Helena from The Wedding was actually out in Chicago. I feel really bad. I forgot to tell you that it was out in Chicago the week after, between Christmas and New Year's, down at that like Gene Siskel Theater or something down at the Art Institute. Anyway, it was there briefly. I know, I was really bad. I'm not the best self-PR person. But it's now, it'll be out on Netflix, I think, starting March. It's got Gillian Jacobs, who's that blonde-haired woman from Community, and Lee Turgeson, a wonderful New York actor, used to be on that show Oz, and has done a ton of stuff. And just a great, Dominic Famusa, Jessica Hecht, a bunch of really great New York actors, which I was completely thrilled to be involved with and to get to act alongside. And, it's a kind of a classic, I shouldn't say classic, but it's a big chill type of story, of couples coming together at a certain point in their lives, trying to sort of figure out, where do you go from here, and is that all there is? And I think, sort of early midlife crisis kind of, weekend in the country. But, I think, by all reports, certainly critically, was really praised for if not breaking new ground, certainly holding up as in terms of that type of movie, just doing a good job of telling that story. I mean, it's a sort of timeless story, getting to a certain age in your life and wondering what now, So I'm super super proud of that little movie. It's a little movie that could.
I know. I'm a Netflix guru. I love my Netflix. I stream everything. And so since I missed it, you didn't tell me. Now I have to wait to come to Netflix. Hopefully we can see it. And maybe we can do it. I know in Chicago we have a bi movie night. And we do not only do movies that are bi, but we also do movies that support bi, directors, actors, whatever kind of thing. It has a theme with it. And so you never know. Maybe I think you should all need to try to get on to the Reeling Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. And I know, because you can bring in the fact that you are part of the LGBT community, and then they can play it. Yeah.
I will. I'm actually just become aware of Reeling, but that's a good idea. I'll throw it out to our director. They kind of run the show on where it goes from now, but I definitely will throw in my two cents. I'd love to, support the movie and bring it to, because, honestly, the LGBT audiences and festivals circuit is as, strong and enthusiastic as any aspect of the whole film circle out there. So, you can get into that racket and you're in good shape. But I would definitely come to Chicago for, if you guys screened it and, to support it and stuff like that. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, because I've been trying to work with, it's difficult. I've been trying to work with the Reeling as well, because I've been trying to do a bi film festival, you know, very small, not like Reeling where you have all these people, day or event, so that kind of thing, or a weekend event, because the Reeling Film Festival is a week, and it's pretty huge now. I'm sure it's not, you know, it's not like like the Sundance or anything, Mr. Alumni. But I'm just saying, it has this moment. So some really good stuff that people come to. A lot of stars come to it that bring movies to the Reeling Film Festival now. So I think it's a good base to come to the Midwest, even though I don't consider Chicago Midwest. I consider it like Chicago, like New York. I mean, New York always like, oh, we're New York, and I'm like, whatever, we're Chicagoans.
You're absolutely right, Heather. Listen, I went to school in Chicago, so I have a very, very deep connection and affection and great nostalgia about Chicago. And
we're friendly people.
Yeah, you don't need to compete with anybody. You guys are great all by yourselves. You're your own thing. Like, you're like New Orleans. You're like your own little, like, entity that, is a city-state that rises above regionalism, I think.
That's right. We have Obama and Oprah.
That's right. I mean, come on. You guys are the most powerful people in the world from Chicago.
Well, so I want to talk to you about, I want you to explain to our listeners, we have people in our chat session and we have people listening to our show as well. Tell us, how did you find By Social Network, and why did you want to get involved in the I Am Visible campaign?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I think for me, the process was sort of something like this. You know, the evolution and progression of coming out and coming to terms with one's bisexuality, you know, for me it's been an ongoing process most of my, you know, 20s and 30s. And, throughout that time, certainly living in the great internet age, which, you know, wouldn't have been true if this had been 20 years earlier. But, you know, I mean, here you are, and you're trying to particularly, you know, given the nature of the bisexual community or the lack thereof, I think from time to time I would find myself on the internet just looking for, like, you know, resources or groups or organizations that, you know, I could draw material from or find somebody to connect to, because I think that is the alienation and the lack of a group is one of the things that really does bedevil, you know, a lot of bisexual people, because there's a feeling of, you know, you don't you're not really accepted in either the mainstream gay or community, and also, you know, and the straight community per se. So I just frankly stumbled across By Social Network, and it was sometime last year, and I thought that it looked hip and current and kind of interesting and relevant. I had been, it's terrible to say, but I have a propensity for just being honest, but I'd been underwhelmed by a lot of other bi sites I'd seen. They looked like they'd been decidedly created in the 70s, and kind of frankly a lot of them were really like, which is, you know, fine, but just wasn't suitable for me. But a lot of them were really sort of women centric, you know. I guess sort of, you know, bi women thing has always been a little more prominent culturally. So anyway, so just, I never found it online I thought was like interesting and something that I could kind of get into, or that sort of spoke to me, until I came upon By Social Network. And I thought, you know, very much, I think as you have tailored it and built it to be like a sort of Huffington Post feel, you know, an aggregation of a lot of different, you know, cultural and media stuff that seemed hip and timely and relevant. And so I started poking around on it, and then, you know, found out what you were behind it and stuff like that. And then, you know, hearing about the I Invisible campaign, as I said to you before, I think it's just the most, it's kind of, you can't say it any better. I mean, that's really, for me personally, as a, you know, where my bi activism sort of begins and ends, really is with the whole concept, encompassed in that phrase, just visibility, just, you know, coming out, basically, just sort of saying this is who I am, and taking this space. I don't have a big, agenda with kind of bi rights, because I don't really know what that is. You know, I mean, my rights issues are more sort of aligned with gay rights in terms of whether it's don't ask, don't tell, or gay marriage or stuff like that. But, you know, in terms of bi rights, only thing I'm concerned about as bisexual is really just being visible, you know. So I am visible, and that's it. That's the campaign. That's why it's so brilliant. That's why I got involved, you know.
Well, I mean, for me, I was talking to a lot of, I talked to a lot of people on, you know, who email me a lot, or they comment, or just, you know, a 13-year-old bisexual emailed me a couple weeks ago about how he got kicked out of his, you know, so I hear a lot of stories, and one of the things that resonated with me was people were saying, I feel so invisible. And then, of course, me, I have extremely bad insomnia most nights. I think of ideas probably at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I was trying to think of something. I knew I wanted to do a project or some kind of campaign, but I wasn't sure about. I think this was way before even the I Am, you know, the It Gets Better campaign. I think it's parallel to that. And so for me, I'm a slow mover, and then I was thinking about doing something like that, and I just kind of came together with the name and everything, because I just felt like doing what people are struggling with, which is not being recognized. I mean, you know, in the entertainment industry, I mean, tell me about, is it different? And I was talking to Trevon, Free, who's, you know, comedian, that kind of thing. But he said it wasn't that bad in Hollywood, that people are every bi and that kind of thing. But do you see a lot of bi men and bi women on television a lot? I mean, I don't see all that much.
No, definitely not. And, I mean, there's a, you know, listen, personally, you know, people in the industry, but then certainly, you know, just there's people outside the industry I know, but certainly mostly, you know, my involvement with people in the industry. And I know, gosh, you know, I mean, a slew of people, tons of guys particularly who, you know, at one time or another or at some point in life or even very actively now, you know, live and what I would, you and I would describe as a bisexual existence, you know. But, you know, categorize themselves as something other than that, you know. So it's out there. I just don't think as a brand, you know, that it's caught on yet, and hasn't gained the kind of visibility and acceptability that people feel comfortable identifying it. In other words, like, it's just, I don't feel like there is the cultural space out there yet for people to say, oh, yeah, I'm that thing right there. And I think as soon as that space becomes available, we'll see a lot more actors. I mean, you know, I'm not going to get into naming names, but, like, there's a lot.
Oh, don't name names, please. I already know a lot of
people. But you know, but I mean, the gossip pages are filled with, I think one of the sad things, I will say this, is that when there's, one of the things that you know, pains me personally as a bisexual man is that when I see men out there whom I would consider bisexual, and I think, you know, they consider themselves bisexual as well. And I'm talking about maybe sort of now, you know, namey stars. You know, they get lampooned in the press for being in the closet. And, you know, what I want to say is, like, those guys consider themselves bisexual because they're maybe married to a woman or having a child with a woman. They're bisexual. But you what you see is in the press and when jokes are made, people accuse those people of being in the closet, being gay, and they only say that because the idea that they could actually be bisexual doesn't exist out there. Like, if someone has ever purported to have been with a man or, you know, whatever, we all know the old drill with this, you know, but there are so many people out there, I think, that when that space is created would basically say, fuck off, I'm bisexual, like that, you know, you don't need to accuse me of being something. Yes, that's true, but this is also true, you know, so it just doesn't exist yet, you know.
Well, this is one of my issues, and I'm asking everybody, because I'm going to start going on the street and buying them out, because I know my experience, I know what people talk to and email me about, or people who, you know, from 13 on up about this, I don't know if you know, but I have this really horrid point of view of this term fluid. Now, a lot of people don't embrace that regarding what I feel about fluid and how I think it's ice cream. But I think that is the number one. I'm going to have a T-shirt literally ice cream sundae, and I'm going to put like a big old X on it and say bisexual. I'm making T-shirts now. I really am. Because I really believe this is the number single issue because what you said is people don't even know what bisexuality is. I mean, Oprah and other people on TV talk shows are like, why aren't you bi? They're like, oh, no, I want to call myself fluid. I don't want to label myself. And I've come to this conclusion. I really believe this is the fact of it, that I believe people use that fluid term to cop out of the word bisexual because it's such a volatile term for people, which is the hatred and everything else like that. If people said fluid and said, yeah, I'm bisexual, but I have the fluid degree, I think it's spectrum more so. I have a range of spectrum, 90, 10%, or 70 or 30%. But fluid tells me nothing. And I just think it's more of a PR problem and like anytime you, even in the movies, Paul, you know that it's all about the first, the marketing. It's all about the first week of a movie, the first day
sure.
is most important.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's branding. And if you literally, gay people figure this out. If you are gay, remember, nobody goes around saying, I'm homosexual.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I mean you're absolutely right. It's a brand. I mean, the gay thing is it's the perfect example. It's like, boy, I mean, the gays built that brand. I mean, they built that brand, and that brand is a brand now. I mean, you got to get in that brand. I mean, that is the hottest brand to be in right now. It's the gay brand.
It's gay. I'm gay.
We are living during the gay era right now. You know, and you know, you think that didn't really, I mean, homosexuality has always existed, of course, but like gay as a brand didn't even exist, you know, for 30 years. I don't know the exact beginning of when that term came to use, but like certainly the way, you know, the contemporary understanding of it and everything we associate with it has totally been, you know, the advent of the last 20, 30 years. And, you know, that didn't come by accident. It really came by very deliberate marketing and in a sense, you know, and people putting themselves out there and coining this idea and sort of creating, you know, in the cultural imagination, this idea of what this is. And of course, you know, once you do that, then you have to fight to broaden what that means. You know, I mean, that was that, you know, that whole sort of transition from it's this and now, oh, but it's not just guys, you know, flitting around with purses. I mean, you know, so you're in a way, you know, you have to go through that limitation before you can expand it. But you have to limit yourself, which I think is what you're saying with the fluid thing, like the unwillingness to limit yourself and say, I'm bisexual, because which, you know, in its own way is a label. I mean, I'd be the first to admit, like, I used to have a hard time, you know, as I think a lot of bisexual people do, like putting that label on yourself because there's something about the very identity that seems to, you know, run counter to the idea of putting a label on it. But I do think for actualization purposes and for larger cultural purposes, it is important. I'm totally with you, and that circles back to your answer about like why, you know, getting involved with that business, you know.
I mean, just think about that, because I get so irritated about people labeling. I understand labels stuff, but just put it this way: I'm a 6 foot tall black woman. If I walk down the street, I can't hide the fact that I'm black, even though I'm part Native American. Nobody sees the Native American part, and I really equate bisexuality as a, you know, interracial person, like, you know, like Obama, who everybody
yeah.
sees black, but his whole family is Irish. So, you know, so
yeah.
it's like this hidden thing that nobody talks about. I really think this is the key moment here, because I understand the fluid. I understand that, you know, I want to be the only label kind of thing. But black people and Jewish people and other people, they label all the time. They can't get remove themselves from those things. And I don't think the bi community should be excluded. You know, it's the same thing. And because people think that the bisexuals are hiding from into the straight world, as it were. And I'm in both worlds. I have a lot of friends who are bi, a lot of friends who are gay, a lot of friends who are straight. That's what the day is. I mean, I literally just reading, every morning I read these biphobic comments from gay people, literally, more so than anybody, about how bisexuals do not know who they are. And then you, as a bi activist, not saying us, I consider myself not an activist really, but there are people who have been in activism for 30 years. I think they just don't get it. It's like, I understand you want to be activists, but the bi community is not there with you. Because I don't think the bi community and the gay community, now that I've been doing this for 2 years, I really don't believe we are one of the same. I believe that we want to be kind of connected with the gay and lesbian, you know, movement and that kind of thing. But I don't. I think that some of the things are a little bit different. I think bi people think a little different, especially with the opposite sex relationships or the same sex relationships, or depending where you are. I think they validate their bisexuality, but I think just in terms of activism or how they live their lives, I think it's a little bit different.
I would agree. I mean, I think, and you know, I was just pulling out something you said just about, you know, bisexual people being invisible. I mean, you know, that's on bisexual people, and that's on myself. And I'm not one to tell other people. I'm not of the school that, you know, tells other people, like, you know, you need to come out, or outing other people, all that stuff. But like, I definitely would love to see there in my lifetime, you know, hopefully in the near future, you know, enough momentum behind bisexual people coming out and becoming visible, that, you know, we do create the idea of you know, the bisexual in society, in the larger cultural imagination. But it won't, you know, it won't happen unless people do it. And people who do will be people that, you know, will wind up some in opposite sex relationships, some in same sex relationships. And I think that's, You and I's good friend Dan Savage, you know, he makes that point in one of his commentaries, that you know, eventually people drift, you know, unless they end up sort of single, which is fine as well, but, you know, for their whole lives. But like, at some point, you know, a lot of bisexual people end up in some form of relationship, monogamous or otherwise, with someone, either the same sex or opposite sex, and at which point, you know, it starts to seem counterintuitive to continue to identify as bisexual, because I'm in a relationship with a man now, so why wouldn't I identify as gay? Or I'm in a relationship with a woman, so I identify as straight. But of course, you know, any bisexual person knows neither of those are the case. You don't stop being who you are just because of who you're in a relationship with. But, you know, we're a little bit of pavement between us and that point where, you know, say, for instance, I know guys I know who I would consider bisexual, they probably consider themselves bisexual, but they are in a relationship, you know, a marriage, say, with a woman. You know, I don't see them identifying as bisexual. That's a stretch for them. Like, what, you know, that would probably create kind of unnecessary tension, then, you know, or problems than you need in a marriage. Or probably problems enough in a marriage, you know, without having to introduce that idea to it. So I don't know what the